batteries and power. Turbines and speed.
Now, everything old is new again. America's entertainment pop culture talk show.
It may well possess a rudimentary intelligence.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Felt a great disturbance in the force.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
Come on, Mark, like a job for me.
Where's the goodies?
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
You filthy criminal.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Here are your hosts, Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
He's Tarzan. You're Jane. He'll come for you.
There's 1,000 men down there. 20,000 more on the way. We don't stand a chance.
A normal man can do the impossible to save the woman he loves. My husband is no more than man.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with Nature Boy himself, David Cohen.
Yes. So back happy to be back.
Back from vacation, huh?
Yes. How was your vacation?
My vacation was terrific. Had a nice time. Refreshed and ready to go. I heard a lot of comments about what we did with the radio show while we were gone for those 2 weeks.
Barbecue guy and fondue guy sat in for us and apparently really knocked it out of the park.
They did. A lot of people had a lot of fun. I'm going to have to go back and listen to those shows. I wasn't around to be able to listen, so I'll go into, everythingoldisnewagain.biz, pull up old shows or podcasts, click on that, and listen to what they did. I think it's great to have two people we can rely upon to carry the show for
definitely,
us.
Definitely, yeah.
There was a little bit of, I understand, a little drama. A little drama there.
In the second show, right?
Well, maybe Dr. Phil will have as a guest next time when the two of them are in. We can do a little evaluation of them. But this week, we are diving into the legend of Tarzan. I mean, this summer, it's alive and well. The story is over 100 years old. Edgar Rice Burroughs' masterpiece was first released, when do you think? 1912.
Did they even have film back then?
They did not have film back then. Well, they did. They had silent movies, but this, of course, was a book first. And they had silent movies. The first silent movie we'll talk about came out in 1918 of Tarzan. It was one of the
first. Can't imagine Tarzan silent, you know, without that yell.
Exactly. We'll dive into that. We're going to look at that. We're also going to say that, think about it, though. This Tarzan, this character, has been around so long that it's really your grandfather's or grandmother's or even great-grandfather or grandmother's superhero.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he was a superhero before comics, before there were superheroes. There's a lot of those.
Before Superman, before Batman. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, using the background of the plethora, I like that word, of DC and Marvel superhero movies, TV shows, comic books, as a reference point, let's look to the superhero before the advent of the comic book and see how they serve as today's foundation for the Avengers. So, and also even Justice League. So next week's show, we're going to, you know, the little tease, they call it a billboard. We're going to billboard next week's show where we're going to do a Victorian Avengers and talk about these heroes from yesteryear that you may not realize serve as a foundation for the Avengers today, really. But let's talk about Tarzan right now, because that movie's out and it's blockbuster. It's doing terrific. And I don't know, it seems like you may or may not be into it. Sometimes these heroes that are, you know, we did a show on Dracula, we did a show on Hercules, and some of these guys have been around for a long time, and sometimes it's the luster is off of the apple, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I like Tarzan. I like the story. It's enough of this already, you know? I mean, Hercules, it didn't work. What was the other one you mentioned?
No, Dracula.
Dracula didn't work, and, you know, right. I don't know. I know the story. I don't need to see it again. I don't need to see a modern version of it.
I think in this show, you're going to hear things about Tarzan that you've never heard before.
Really?
In a few minutes. First, let's just take a look and get a kick out of 1932 to 36. There was a radio show, Tarzan, and that's where your grandparents would have been introduced to Tarzan. Let's see how long ago it was, about 80 years. So, yeah, probably your grandparents, maybe even your great-grandparents, introduced to this character on the radio.
Tarzan of the Apes, brought to you from out the pages of Edgar Rice Burroughs' amazing book.
How about that? I mean, it's the infancy of radio. Now, remember, the 40s and 50s radio was its golden age, and they perfected these radio plays. This is 1932, the introduction of Tarzan, and they were very serious, and it didn't sound too great, did it?
No, and it's barely audible. But so it was a book first.
Book first.
I did not know that.
Yeah, book first, absolutely. And then
that garbled radio show, and then what happened?
Let's actually go back in time. That was the radio version.
I thought we did already.
No, we're going to go back. Do it reverse. In further than back, in 1921, Tarzan was on Broadway. It was on Broadway recently and failed. It was on Broadway in 1921. It was a big hit.
Really?
Before that, in 1918, started the movies of Tarzan. In 1918, there was Tarzan the Ape Man, the first silent, not the first silent movie, but it was a silent movie starring a guy named Elmo Lincoln, who you'll hear about later on in this show. Very interesting Elmo Lincoln
clip. Abe's son?
We'll find out. Remember the name. And from that point forward, there's been 200 movies involving Tarzan. Think about that.
Yeah, so we need another one.
Exactly.
200 is not enough.
Correct. We're going to revisit this. And then, of course, because everything old is new again. And then we've got the book.
That's not always a good thing.
Developed in 1912. Edgar Rice Burroughs produced from 1912 to 1965, 24 books. But what's curious about that is he died in 1950. So from 50 to 65,
he's very talented.
He's very talented. They produce books. His estates produce books and have been involved ever since. So let's take a look. We've talked about that, Tarzan movie and the radio show. The same year as that radio show in 32, there was the movie Tarzan.
What are we going to do about us?
Tarzan, Jane, boy, love it, Jane.
Darling, that's quite a sentence.
Now that's Maureen O'Sullivan and Johnny Weissmuller, the most famous couple that performed, Tarzan and Jane.
And Jane.
Now here's the thing. Was Tarzan a dope? Was he that dopey where he would talk like that?
I mean, that's how I always remembered him.
That's the thing. That's the first mistake that's made. Just like Frankenstein. And these literary characters, Frankenstein, if you remember our Frankenstein shows, if you want to take a look at those, again, go back to the podcast, you could hear, and as we discussed that, the same as Tarzan, they were intelligent beings and were able to communicate better than you hear them in these movies. They thought of him as this goof, this ape man, but he was a very intelligent. I'm going to list a little bit of his abilities that were listed and see if you really believe or see that in the movie. So, first of all, he is able to climb and cling and leap as well as any ape or better.
Right. Yeah, we've seen that.
Right.
Sure.
He uses branches and hanging vines to swing at great speed. So you knew. Did you know that he's a skilled tracker and uses his exceptional sense of hearing and smell to follow his prey? His sense of hearing allows him to eavesdrop on conversations between other people. All right, so he can hear well. I mean, that's not really a great superpower, but he's got that. This is a great one. He's able to communicate with animals, and in particular, great tribes of great big apes that live in his local area.
Well, he is the ape man, right? Tarzan, the ape man.
But he can communicate with these animals, and you see in some of the movies that happens. He's extremely intelligent, was literate in English before being able to speak the language. When he first encounters the English speaking Jane, he spoke, of course, ape, right? But after that, he learned French, Finnish, English, Dutch, German, Swahili,
really?
Greek, ancient Latin, all of this.
Did the movies ever portray him
never
like that?
All the Edgar Rice Burroughs books portray that, but this doesn't.
Wow.
He communicates with these speakers, and he's a skilled impressionist. He's able to mimic the sound of even a gunshot perfectly. And in Tarzan's Quest, 1935, he was one of the recipients of an immortality drug. At the end of the book, that basically made him immortal, which is the reason why he's still here to this day.
That was smart by Mr. Burroughs, right?
How do you like that? Yeah, that was pretty good.
Never kill him off.
Yeah.
He's immortal.
But he's very articulate. He shouldn't be this dope. Anyway, well, we're going to dive into this a little bit more and talk about Tarzan and how he relates to superheroes
today. He could do the Rubik's Cube in like less than 30 minutes.
We'll be back on Everything Old is New Again, the 1966 Tarzan TV theme. Everything Old is New Again. Come on back.
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again.
George, George, George of the jungle, strong as he can be. Watch out for that tree.
With Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
George, George, George of the jungle lives a life that's free. Watch out for that tree.
Welcome back. Everything Old is New Again. That sounds like me at the barbecue after I've overcooked the steak. And I go in, I cut it, and it's well done. This is Douglas Viviani with the irreplaceable David Cohen. How are you today?
Irreplaceable for now. I know how that works.
Angelica's right. in the
waiting train. In the wings. I know.
Anyway, that was, believe it or not, Buster Crabbe, who was, in 1933, Tarzan. In a serial, what we call that a serial, was every week you'd go to the movies and you'd see a different episode of Tarzan. Do you remember Buster Crabbe? We've talked about him in the past.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of him.
And he is known as being Flash Gordon.
Yes.
Around the same time period. Now, it's funny, he was an Olympic swimmer first and became an actor.
Right,
Johnny Weissmuller was an Olympic swimmer first and became the most well-known Tarzan of all time. And you can hear that yell is different.
Very different.
We're going to be yelling a little bit later on in this episode, trying to do our Tarzan yell if you want to hear that. Before we get to that, that was Buster Crabbe's first presentation of the yell for Tarzan. But did you know Tarzan's got a relationship through Buster Crabbe to Superman? I think you'll be interested to see that Flash Gordon.
Connect the dots thing here?
Yes, conquers the universe. Buster Crabbe is in Flash Gordon as well with somebody else speaking as his dad. See if you can picture who this is.
That's a splendid achievement, son. The world will be waiting to give you and Professor Zarkov the finest welcome in the history of mankind.
No, Dad, I'm not coming back. Zarkov's not with me.
No, he and Dale were taken prisoners by me.
There you go. Again, 1930s, Buster Crabbe and his great series of, you know, Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe, and that one is actually 1940. Do you remember that name sound familiar?
Sounds like the actor who played Perry White in the Superman
show. It sure does. It's John Hamilton, Perry White. Here he is now.
Caesar's goat, are you going to wear that outfit into the jungle?
Now, that's him as
Perry White,
but he sounds like he's yelling at Tarzan, Buster Crabbe.
Yeah, you're going to wear that in the jungle? Who is he? Who do you think he was talking to?
In Flash Gordon, he was Flash Gordon's dad, Buster Crabbe's dad. In that clip, he's Perry White.
So who's he talking about? Were you going out in that outfit?
I don't know.
That's weird.
It's an interesting combination. All joking aside, this guy had some great abilities, and that's why I think this character is so fascinating. I don't know.
I'm ashamed to say this because it's been so long since I've seen a Tarzan movie. Can you just, in 30 seconds, recap the story of Tarzan?
Yes, and just as an aside, I know it sounds bizarre. I have young children.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen many Tarzan movies, but one of the best that tells the story pretty well is, you know, if you're looking for a reason,
Disney animated version?
Yeah, the Disney animated is very good. But the bottom line is that Tarzan's mother and father went to Africa, built a treehouse. They were going to do some exploration, and they were also going to do
They were normal people. They weren't, you know, like ape people either.
Correct. Right.
They were just
trying to... They were,
just to clarify.
They were like kind of archaeologists, and they were sociologists, and they were going to investigate the world of Africa. And they built a treehouse. Long story short, the treehouse was attacked by a lion one night. The parents killed. They hid the child. Apes came to the treehouse later on, found the child, raised the child as their own. Child became Tarzan, but then the civilization came to the island or to where they were in Africa, and civilization found him, Jane, took him back to England, where he was Lord Greystroke, if you remember that.
Right? Oh, right.
And he was very intelligent and spoke well and so forth and became a man of society, but then said, this is not for me, and went back to Africa for the rest of his life.
Wow.
As Tarzan to, you know, live and thrive there with Jane. So that's basically the story.
Okay.
But a lot of the episodes are about, of course, what happens in Africa and the attack from man upon animals or attack from man upon native tribes, and he's there to do justice against evil society, basically, that's coming to destroy his world. But talk about that Disney movie. Listen to a little bit here also about the meaning. There's more to it than just a guy in a loincloth, I think.
Why am I so different? Kerchak said I don't belong in the family.
Never mind what Kerchak said.
Look at me!
I am Tarzan. And do you know what I see? I see two eyes, like mine. Two ears. Close your eyes. Now forget what you see. What do you feel?
My heart.
Come here.
Your heart.
See? They're exactly the same.
So there it is, Glenn Close, by the way, playing the...
There was Glenn... that voice sounded familiar.
Yeah. It's if you let yourself go there, it's kind of touching, this whole story. It's where this child is in a world where he's the minority. He is someone that's really out of place. Could be any of us in any circumstance. And he wants to change. He's trying to put mud on himself to make him look like an ape and all that, and growing his hair with a certain way. And his mom is basically saying, who is an ape, is basically, if apes could talk, is saying to him, listen, there's nothing wrong with who you are and who I am. We have certain differences, but at heart, we're souls that can share this planet together and have feelings for each other. So I think it's an interesting message, and that message does get lost, I think, in the older movies. I don't know about the new one now, with this business of, you know, him being an ape man and just all right. He can do is talk like an ape or talk like a brute. That's not really what it's all about.
Yeah, me Tarzan, you Jane.
It's not right. Just like Frankenstein. It's not written that way.
Right.
It's written for you to understand that he's trying to assimilate into this world. Remember, he's never met another human being. So he doesn't know why he's different, and the apes don't know why he's different. They can't, in the books, of course, I can't communicate with them that well. So he doesn't, he's just trying to be part of this group. So anyway, that's what that's about. Then he's got his relationship with Jane, which is very interesting, too. Let's listen to the original 1933.
Tarzan, what am I doing here? Alone? With you? Perhaps I better not think too much about that. Just to be here. Be happy. And I am happy. Not a bit afraid. Not a bit sorry. Oh, Tarzan, I wish I could make you understand. Perhaps I can. Gradually.
That's Maureen O'Sullivan talking a very stinted way there.
Yeah.
But that's with Johnny Weissmuller. And what that relationship develops into is someone that's very loyal. There are other women that eventually meet Tarzan and they want to court him, let's say. And
among other things.
Yes, and he's very loyal to Jane. He is not ever cheated. He's very loyal, steadfastly saves her from danger and difficulties and so forth. But also there's an element there, I think, where women maybe relate in some way, where they see a gentleman that's kind of a blank slate and they can maybe mold him to the person they want him to be. Imagine
that's what happened to me, yeah.
How's that?
I was a blank slate. I got molded.
to the irreplaceable man that you are now.
Right. Right. You keep saying irreplaceable. I'm starting to get nervous.
Well, we'll see if you're able to pass the test of the Tarzan yell later on in the show.
Oh, okay.
But also, there's another element of Tarzan. Of course, this attraction, this physical attraction. And in 81, Tarzan the Ape Man was remade with Bo Derek, if you remember her.
God, if the girls back home can see me now.
The most exotic woman of our time in the most erotic adventure of all time. Tarzan, the Ape Man.
I mean, let's just skip to the Disney ending as well of that movie.
Jane, dear, I can't help feeling that you should stay.
Daddy, please don't. We've been through all of this. I couldn't possibly stay. I belong in England and with you, with people. And
but you love him.
So really quick, the relationship between Tarzan and women and Jane really is a huge part of his aura, and I think it's something that we'll come back and revisit when we get back and everything old is new again in a moment. But it is the attraction for both genres, male and female, to like this character. He's steadfast and loyal, and he's not going anywhere. Come on back. We're not going anywhere either. Everything old is new again.
Now, back to America's entertainment pop culture talk show, Everything Old is New Again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
I think we should have taken a left at the river.
Tarzan, no. Where'd Tarzan go?
Tarzan does not know where Tarzan go.
Why don't you want to...
If you're a couple, you fight over directions.
I have to do that right here.
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with the irreplaceable, I'll say it again, just for the heck of it, David Cohen.
Really getting me nervous with that. Who are you replacing me with? I want to know now. Tarzan, is he coming in? He's going to replace me?
Yes, he's very intelligent, that guy.
Obviously more than I am.
But he doesn't seem intelligent in that commercial.
No, which is a funny Geico commercial.
It is, but it bothers me because it's not even close to the way Jane treats Tarzan, and Tarzan's not dopey, so
well,
neither of them is correct.
Right.
Not even close. But they talk to, if you know that commercial, they talk to Cheetah or a little chimp trying to get directions.
Yes,
right?
They're asking directions of from the animals.
Right, and that does show the relationship between Tarzan and animals, or at least is it? Jane is talking to the animal in that case, and the animal, whatever, doesn't know where the waterfall is. But Tarzan has a great relationship with animals. All the way back, you can see in this clip, you know, it's going to be hard to hear. It's very quick, but this is a clip where Tarzan is attacked by lions and then saved by an elephant. Like that?
Yeah, you heard
that's
the...
some clip, huh?
Yeah.
So what happens is this elephant comes and scares the lion away.
Do lions get scared by elephants?
I don't know. In this world, they do. They're huge, and Tarzan's...
I guess.
And picks up Tarzan like a cub from the back of his head and carries...
The elephant does.
The elephant does.
With his trunk.
Yes, and carries,
wow.
And carries him off. So I don't know. There is this mythical, like, if you talk about superheroes, what superpower does Tarzan have, do you think?
To communicate, you know, with animals. Isn't he able to summon them? He's the king of the jungle, right? Or is that George?
No, he sure can.
George of the jungle?
He does have a nice ability to have them stampede, like when there's, like, these huge armies he's up against, and it's just him.
Yeah, he whistles or does something, and they come running.
Let's hear it. Let's see what it goes on.
He's Tarzan. You're Jane. He'll come for you.
Great clips I got for you this week.
Is that Antonio Banderas? Who was that? Is that from the new movie?
That's from the new movie for sure. And if you heard the little steps at the end, that was a stampede. If you see
yes.
the trailer, stampeding the village and all the animals are on Tarzan's side defeating this army. So
I was able to picture that in my mind.
Okay.
Yes.
He's sort of the Aquaman
right.
of Africa, of the jungle. Maybe.
Right. Yeah, that's always been my impression of him.
But
right?
he's really strong too, and intelligent. So I mean, that's where we're at there. Does he qualify as a superhero? You think? That's the
well,
question.
Well, yeah, I think so.
I think so too.
I think so. I'm still struggling with why am I going to see this movie?
Well,
you know
and
I mean?
I don't think this movie has any, because it's a serious remake too, a serious look at the topic.
It's serious.
You know, it doesn't have like Cheetah, who was the comic relief, right? Listen to this, the little chimp.
Oh, you crazy monkey. You give me that. You give me that. Don't drink that. Don't drink that. You get drunk, you crazy monkey.
I remember Cheetah, right, from all those movies?
That was you and I the other night at a bar. That's what I was saying to you.
That's
crazy
my wife.
Monkey,
that's
stop
that's,
drinking.
That's my wife every Saturday night. Basically, you know, the Cheetah was integral in, I guess you'd say, the movies and in the TV show for sure. And you remember we did a show on Planet of the Apes, right?
Oh yeah,
and we talked about those apes and their place in our entertainment world. Before we get to that, Maureen O'Sullivan later on was on Dave's Letterman talking about Cheetah and what it was like to work with this ape.
Jane, Johnny Weissmuller, Johnny Sheffield, and a horrible little creature called Cheetah.
Cheetah.
Horrible. And every time I would go near Johnny, I would see this wicked look. She's getting ready to spring at me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You will see Cheetah standing with one leg way out of the camera. And you know why that is? Because it was on a chain.
Because the longer story, if you go to YouTube, you can pull this up. The longer story is that Cheetah was basically in love with Johnny Weissmuller. so was jealous when any of the pictures or in the films when Jane, the actress, you know, was Maureen O'Sullivan, was interacting with Johnny White's mother. This cheetah would come over and interrupt the scenes and so forth. So they had to tie the chimp down, or, you know,
was
put him on a leash.
Cheetah male or female?
Cheetah was male too.
Wow.
So this is real.
That's definitely a Hollywood story.
Yes, and had a very physical attraction that they had to cover up a lot of the times as well to show his passion for Johnny Weissmuller. So she did
funny.
A tremendous story. It was very funny, but that's the essence of the story. And Cheetah was really no fun to work with for her. I think apes in and I think you agree with me, chimps maybe a better word, is fun and a lost art in our pop culture today.
I'd like to see Cheetah in the movie. I agree with you on that point. Yeah
I mean, we don't. It's a little comic relief something. Speaking of comic reliefs, let's just throw back to this.
And slightly secret chimp stands for just has no fear, really, and the cold winter is near. Lance Link,
I know that's a favorite of yours. Explain to us what in the world, if you don't remember this, Lancelot Link was.
Lancelot Link was, it was a live action show with chimps. No human actors, just chimps dressed in human clothing. And Lancelot Link was a spy. He was sort of like the Maxwell Smart, you know.
From Get Smart. Yeah.
From Get Smart. So it was sort of a parody of that. And so Lancelot Link would... He was the man, you know. He was the big spy, and the criminal organization was the acronym was APE. I don't remember what it stands for, but and the way they would make the chimps move their mouths to simulate talking was by giving them something like chewing gum, something to chew on, so that their mouths would move. And they would have, obviously, human voices, you know, voiceovers.
And it was a half-hour Saturday morning show, right?
For kids, yeah. But it was great.
Yeah, it was. You got to look that one up.
They even have a band of chimps that you heard singing in the background.
And written by a couple of people that wrote the Carol Burnett Show back
in the
day. That
left the Carol Burnett Show.
Left it!
Left the Carol Burnett Show to write for Lancelot Link.
Unreal. And, so you've got, you know, Cheetah, you've got Lancelot Link, and then you've got one more ape back in the day, a chimp, that was of interest. Let's listen to a clip about
between
this.
Those two, we've got that, let's call it the Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig of chimpdom, and the Joe DiMaggio, if you will, is, if you're a baseball fan, is without question J. Fred Muggs, my favorite chimp of all time. Yes, he was the co-host of the show. There were times that they would put roller skates on him, and he would roll, the camera would stay stationary, and he'd roll from camera left to camera right, and in his hand he'd have a placard with, let's say, the next guest that was to be on the show, and he would roll right across, and then he'd go back from right to left, and it was a big hit.
How lazy am I? I could have all said that just right now. I used a clip from a show from a year ago.
Oh, you made me retell the Lancelot Link story live on the spot.
I just wanted to break in the action, so I used a clip. That's a clip from Everything Old Is New Again from,
yes.
I don't know, a year and a half ago we did our Planet of the Apes show.
That's right.
Anyway, but, you know, there was Lancelot Link, and there was, you know, Cheetah and J. Fred Muggs, the top three I guess apes or chimps of all time in entertainment. You don't see it anymore.
No, they should. They should have them come back. They're so funny.
Exactly.
When we make them human, you know.
What would you do? Would you do a Saturday morning show? Would you do a...
I'd bring back Lancelot Link.
You would?
Yeah. I think it would be popular.
Would you leave this show to write that show? That's the question.
I'd leave this show to write any show.
Hence the reason why I call you irreplaceable, this whole show, you see.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back.
I'm going to be replaced by J. Fred Muggs Jr.
You might. That's what a great idea that is. If you can only talk. All right, we'll be back after this. A little something from Tarzan and Phil Collins again, the Disney show, and Everything Old Is New Again. Come on back.
This is Everything Old Is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
He's free as a breeze, he's always at ease. He lives in the jungle, hangs by his knees, and swings through the trees without a trapeze. in his BVD.
Strength of Tarzan, no man can say. Deep in the jungle, Tarzan continues to enforce his law, the law of right. Tarzan's awesome warning cry is known to every living creature in the jungle.
Listen to that yell. This is Everything Old is New Again with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen. And we're deep into our discussion of Tarzan and is he a superhero? And now we're at the point of this yell. We talked about he communicates with animals and Jane certainly, but this yell is part of the whole thing. It's a makeup that he is communicating with long way away from his mate. And
he can't. Doug is trying to shut the fan off in the studio. He was trying to be very subtle about it, but
I couldn't find it. I just pulled it out of the wall. Did you hear that at home? I don't know if you heard the fan.
Hear it until I saw you fumbling with this. By the way, the fan, it's like one of those big box fans, too. He was picking it up, trying to shut it off.
You may have almost heard me yell like Tarzan.
Yeah, if you would have lost a finger. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we're going to focus a little bit on the yell itself and see it's something that is iconic. Back in the day, when your grandfather, your grandmother, great-grandparents heard and saw these movies, even your parents, it depends how old you are, have heard, you know, in the 30s and 40s and 50s and even 60s, a TV show, 1966, it was a TV show, there is a yell that's distinctive to Tarzan.
Right.
The question is, where'd that yell come from?
Yeah.
This is developed from a literary character in a book. Clearly the yell...
With no explanation of how the yell sounded.
Correct. So first actor we talked about already was Elmo Lincoln. And it was an actor from 1918, did the original Tarzan movie in silent movies. Now, I found a clip, I think this is tremendous, of him 30 years later on a show called You Asked for It on television. People would write in and say,
You asked for it.
There you go. Exactly right. And they had Elmo Lincoln on the show, and they asked him to do something.
And that is that barrel chest of yours. I want you to expand it there and give forth with that original blood-curdling jungle call, will you?
You mean this?
It sounds like he fell off.
Someone's killing him.
It sounds like he fell out the tree and broke his leg or something.
It was horrible.
So that's why it's funny, because remember, that was the actor in the silent movies. What if there was sound? Think about this.
So he was the actor in the silent movie. Now, how did people even know he did the screen?
Well, he would open his mouth and it would just go, yeah.
And that's what came out?
But think about it.
Thank goodness it was silent.
Right. If he was in a movie like Johnny Weissmuller where that was the sound, I think the whole Tarzan craze would have died right then. Think about if he did that sound.
They would not have let that on the screen. They wouldn't have released the movie with that.
And then from there, the first one we heard it earlier today, we'll do it again real quick, was 1933 Buster Crabbe, his attempt. All right, a little better.
A little better.
But still not great. And you know why now he didn't carry that role too long either. It was just the one serial he did. Then Johnny Weissmuller, who you all know, from 1934 to 1947, did 12 movies. This is Johnny Weissmuller. That is a yell.
That's impressive. And he actually did that.
The controversy. Great question. There's controversy that he claims his entire life, and so does Maureen O'Sullivan, who's his co-star, that he did that not helped by any kind of audio help at all.
Right.
The studio says, and they own that yell, the studio, by the way, owns that yell, and they said that they enhanced it in some ways with the technology of the time. But think about it. It was 1933. There wasn't a lot of technology at the time back then.
No.
So,
but it does sound like that. That's tough to do.
It sounds a little augmented in some way. But what he says is when he was a child, he did yodeling. As a kid. As part of a yodel.
Okay.
That kind of makes sense. Listen to this. I think this is pretty cool. We got Weissmuller and then Maureen O'Sullivan giving it her try. So Tarzan yelling and then Jane responding. This is the cell phone of the day.
Oh!
That was definitely altered, especially hers.
Hers is definitely altered, don't you think?
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
So now here's the question. Is she covering up when she was interviewed and always said that Johnny did it himself?
Yeah, I think they were both
enhanced. Because they were both augmented. I think
that little so. That little Twitter, you know, that's really hard
but
to do.
But what technology did they have?
I'm sure they could. They had tape. They could speed up the sound. Mike could probably chime in on this, right?
Our producer, our engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you could definitely. I mean, I don't know. When was that done?
1933.
But they had audio tape.
And like reel to reel, if you're lucky.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the technology back then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy now. You can do it in
right.
2 seconds. But
sound like they may have
would have been difficult. Might have been tough.
Okay. All right.
It's interesting. Okay. Well, maybe the only thing I can think is that they moved maybe they sped it up, maybe, or maybe they kind of like played with it like a DJ does now, or you know, where they move the what am I thinking about? Like, you know, where they with the records and they spin them and they
sure,
move.
Sure,
so
yeah.
So maybe they did that a little bit with the tape back and forth at the end.
But
maybe
there was no speed. Scream, like they had nothing to work off of, so they didn't know what sound they were making.
So someone, let me put it this way. I mean, better question. They had the actors do it, but maybe they could augment it where they sped it up a little bit or they slowed it down. I don't know.
Yeah,
at least you could probably maybe have done that.
I mean, if you're talking about only that little twitch there,
yeah.
I mean, oh yeah. Do you really need it? I mean, I guess it helps it, but if you don't know that you can make that sound...
That's true, right. How would they even think of that?
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, let's make this little thing that goes...
Yeah, right at what? The end, yeah. So I'd say we'll never answer that question. It's a question of credibility, I guess. Then there was Gordon Scott, 1958, Tarzan Fights for His Life. Sorry, I misspoke. That was Tarzan the Ape-Man 81. They used Johnny Weissmuller's yell. Here's Tony Goldwyn, the Tarzan Disney man. And here is Tarzan, the newest, 2016, Tarzan the Legend. All right, so now that's where we now have rushed a little bit.
We've come really far. 2016, it just sounds like he's got, you know, like strep throat or something.
Exactly. He's in the distance. All right, we've got to give it a try. We basically have 1 minute to do this.
All right, let's
give it a shot.
Yes.
Who wants to go first?
Go ahead.
We're going to try our own hand at a Tarzan yell.
Stand back from your radios.
Stand back from the microphone so it doesn't overmodulate. Here we go. No.
Sounded more Native American, but all right. All right, here's mine. You ready?
Yo, Jane, over here!
I mean, that's what he's doing it for, right?
It is.
Okay.
It is. I'm going to try one more time.
All
right.
Yeah.
Yo, hey, ho, ho! Hey, ho, ho!
That's a good one.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I think we just had the argument you love to have in Tarzan Talk.
Exactly. And, of course, I was right.
All right. I think it's something that's funny. You could try at home. And if you want to try that at home and send it to us, we'll play it on the air. Your attempt
at the
Tarzan yell. We'll come up with a new one. On Everything Old is New Again, take a look at our website, everythingoldisnewagain.biz, everythingoldisnewagain.biz, or send us a note, oldnewagain@AOL.com. oldnewagain@AOL.com. Yay-ho-hey-ho! No?
That's well, it's different. I'll give you that.
Come on back. Everything old is new again. All right, I'll take the garbage out already. It's enough. All right, come on back next week. We'll talk about the Victorian Avengers on Everything Old is New Again. Listen to that man go. Look at that for a living.